Good morning and welcome to the program. Glad you're with us this morning. You know, one of the greatest needs today is the need for restoration, renewal, and revival. Even David, the man seeking after God's own heart, needed restoration, as we read in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And surely, if a great man like David needed a restoring, we may from time to time need it too. But what is restoration? Restoration is the act of repairing, renewing, or rebuilding. Renewal is bringing something back to the unspotted original state of newness. And revival is bringing back to life the spiritual desire in an individual or among a group of people. Do you need to be revived, renewed, or restored? Well, if so, why? Well, the answer is because you've been separated from God. But what has separated you from God? Well, sin has separated you from God. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you." The contemporary English version of this verse says, "Your sins are the roadblock between you and your God." If you turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we read, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." In other words, because man sins, man will die, both spiritually and physically. Now understand that those who are separated from God will be punished. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory." Your separation from God is due to your choice to go against God. 1 John 3:4 says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness." You see, nobody forces us to sin. And know that if you're separated from God, you'll also be separated from Christians. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And down in verse 41 we read, "Then he will also say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And verse 46 says, "These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And it's all because of the little three-letter word, sin. But sin is bigger than just the word itself. Sin is a disease that kills, just like the diseases of the world kill today. According to the 2018 estimates, 84 million Americans have one or more form of cardiovascular disease. In 2016, there were approximately 1.1 million people living with the AIDS virus. And there will be an estimated 1.7 million new cases of cancer in the United States alone this year. And just as these physical diseases kill the body, sin brings death to the soul. We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why would we want to pay to sin just to be punished when we can have eternal life for free? 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 21 says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." Everybody's going to die physically. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." But this death that we're talking about is a spiritual death. And spiritual death involves the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 9 says, For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And remember who caused the separation. Remember the word your, as we read in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. It's you that caused the separation between you and God. It wasn't Him, because God is too holy to cause death, to cause this separation. Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11 says, "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." God is absolutely too great. He's too awesome to cause a separation between us and Him. God did not cause your separation, but He does offer you a restoration. So comes the question, how are you separated? The answer, you're infected with sin. And one is infected when they know but refuse to follow the guidelines. As we read earlier in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." And the guidelines that are given to us are there to protect us, so we should follow them. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." However, some know the guidelines and continue to sin. Hebrews 10:26-31 says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which would devour the adversaries." Verse 28, "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." One is infected with sin when they know but refuse to follow the guidelines. And one is also infected when they choose to go against what is right. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." And 1 John 5:17, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death," it goes on to say. One is infected when they do not know the guidelines. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 22 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." You see, ignorance is no excuse, because the evidence of God is clear in the Scriptures. We can know the guidelines. We just must choose to know the guidelines. One is infected when they forget the guidelines. Revelation 2 at verse 1 says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, 'These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You see, many people forget what God tells us to do. They forget because of inactivity a lot of times. When's the last time you read the Bible? When's the last time you cried out for a lost soul? When's the last time you mentioned the name of Jesus or God the Father to someone at work? Maybe in your neighborhood, to someone in your own family? Are you infected? If so, there is a cure for this infection. And the cure is Christ. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Christ died for your sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he became the offering for your sins." Isaiah 53:10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." You see, through our obedience to Christ, he purges our sins. Hebrews chapter 1 at verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." The blood of Christ is the cleansing power to wash away our sins. And 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." And Acts 22:16 says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You see, we must accept the cure. And the knowledge of that cure should result in healing. However, many know that they have the disease of sin. They know the cure is there, but they still refuse to be healed. Look in Acts chapter 24, 22 through 25, you can see where Felix knew the cure, but he refused to be healed. And Agrippa in Acts 26, 24 through 28, he said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Knowledge of the cure without action is useless. For those of you who have never obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, you are separated from God. And the gospel plan of salvation is simple. First, you must hear the word of God, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. And you can become a Christian, and you can have the cure. Perhaps you have obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, but you've become infected with sin again. Well, you're separated from God if that's the case. You must repent and ask God to forgive you, so that you can be cured. If we can help you with any of these things, please let us know, but don't wait till it's too late. Feel free to contact me. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. If you'd like, you can call 304-727-0761, or you can email me at wvdj105@aol.com, or you can stop by for one of our services. On Sunday, we meet for Bible class at 9:30 in the morning, and then we begin worship at 10:25 and again at 6 p.m. And then on Wednesday evening, we have Bible study at 7 p.m. Feel free to stop by and see us at any time. If you would like to attend the services of the Church of Christ and you're not in the St. Albans area, contact me and I will get you in touch with someone who can help you. Again, we thank you so much for being with us this morning for Words of Truth.